what we believe about the Bible is based on what we believe about its source.
The God Who Speaks, the award-winning documentary from the American Family Association, is now available in a special limited edition DVD set. This release includes a Sunday school curriculum and 2 hours of additional footage. Go to thegodwhospeaks.org to get your copy today. thegodwhospeaks.org. Welcome to Today's Issues. Join us for the next hour as we offer a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Ed Vitagliano.
Well, I just, Ed ain't here, so I'll have to fill in for him. I don't know what happened there, but I'm Tim Wellman, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network for this Thursday, January the 2nd. And if you're ready to hear this, 2025.
Mm-hmm.
2025 has arrived. And joining me in studio is Fred Jackson. Good morning, Fred.
Good morning on a Thursday that feels kind of like a Monday.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Since we, you know, all the holidays, and here we are, January, you know, New Year's Day. Nobody worked yesterday much. So, Chris Woodward?
I got to tell you, I haven't seen Ed all year. I don't know yeah. where he is.
that was pretty good. And our brother Ray Pritchard's in Kansas City. Good morning, Ray.
Good morning, Tim. Happy New Year. How you doing today?
Happy New Year to you. What do you got? You got a good word for us from the Bible?
Well, I do.
Or if you got a bad word. Listen, if you got a bad word, go ahead. No, I'm just kidding.
I got no bad words.
Okay.
I got a good word from the good word of the Lord.
Okay.
Book of Hebrews. I've been studying it, Tim, because I'm going to be teaching it in South Korea in early March. And you come to Hebrews chapter 7, and there's a technical kind of argument in Hebrews 7. It's a little hard to understand, but this much is clear. Let me just read this verse and make a comment. The former priest, he's talking about the Jewish high priests, were many in number because they were prevented by death from continuing in office. See, that was the problem with the old system. Had a high priest, he was a good guy and you liked him, and then he goes up and dies and he's gone. And the next guy comes along, he's hard to understand, then he dies and somebody else comes along and you don't really like him, and maybe you get another high priest you really like and really understands you, but he dies. That's the point of Hebrews 7. Doesn't matter whether good guys or bad guys, the high priest lives for a while and then he dies. But listen, but Jesus, verse 24, holds his priesthood permanently because he continues forever. And he also says in Hebrews 7, because of the power of an indestructible life. Unlike these human high priests that come and go, Jesus is a friend who will be there today, tomorrow, and every day, forever and ever and ever. And I think that's a really good word here on the second day of the new year. And I am thinking of this personally this morning. Marlene and I have got some dear friends in a distant part of the country we've known for over 40 years, wife's husband, dear friend of ours. And at this hour, the wife is in surgery for a very difficult form of cancer, and the outcome is uncertain. But, I mean, at this hour, she's under the knife. And I think to myself, we saw her not too many weeks ago, and Tim, though knowing what's at stake, she was very calm, full of faith, full of confidence in God, because we have a friend in high places. We got a friend who knows us, a friend who understands. And I can imagine, Tim, among some of our listeners, there's a bit of trepidation in some hearts. Maybe 2024 was hard, and maybe 2025 looks like it's going to be even tougher. We have a high priest who is there today, tomorrow, and forever. It's like the old song says, what a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. So I just want to say to all of you here at the first of the year, look to Jesus. Turn to him. He will never, ever fail you. And I'm looking to him this morning on behalf of our friends. And I just want to say to everybody, Happy New Year. Jesus is a wonderful Lord. You will not face anything this year that Jesus can't handle. Let me say that again. You will not face anything this year that Jesus can't handle. Trust him today. Trust him tomorrow. You'll be glad you did.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Ray, for that word of encouragement.
It's good.
And we all needed to hear that from the book of Hebrews. Well, again, folks, it's January the 2nd, 2025. Ed is not here today. Fred, Chris, and Ray. Sandy Rios will be with us later this hour. Like most of you, I woke up yesterday morning to the tragic news of what happened in New Orleans. And we're going to talk about that a little bit later on, but a secondary story that maybe didn't get as much national attention, you wondered what is going on there, was the situation in Las Vegas where a car caught on fire / exploded in front of the Trump Hotel there in Las Vegas. And joining us to talk about that, and is it related maybe to what happened in New Orleans, is Randy Sutton. Randy is founder of Wounded Blue, a support for injured and disabled law enforcement officers, and is a friend of Steve Jordahl, our colleague here. Good morning, Randy.
Hi, good morning. Good morning. Thank you for having me.
This is Tim, and tell us about your organization first, and what do you do and where do you operate out of?
Well, I'm a retired Las Vegas police lieutenant and founder of the Wounded Blue, which is the national assistance and support organization for injured and disabled law enforcement officers, a nationwide charity that helps thousands of officers injured either physically or emotionally and psychologically. And as I said, I'm a 24-year law enforcement veteran in Nevada, retiring as a lieutenant, and 10 years as a police officer and detective in New Jersey.
What's your website again for people who want more information?
TheWoundedBlue.org. That's TheWoundedBlue.org.
Okay, Randy, what happened in Las Vegas?
You know, I'm a national commentator on law enforcement topics, and I was on doing a number of interviews relating to the terrorist attack in New Orleans when I received information that a vehicle had exploded in front of the Trump Hotel here in Las Vegas, which is literally just miles from where I live. It's a hotel that I'm very familiar with, as I've attended functions there many times. And when I heard that, the hair on the back of my neck stood up. And originally, the report came out that it was a vehicle fire. And then for several hours, not much information came out until it was determined that this individual had pulled into the valet area. Now, this is let me just set it up for you. Trump Hotel is not a massive casino hotel. There's no casino at all. It's just a boutique hotel. It's off the strip, but within very close proximity to it. But it's a smaller hotel, and it's the vehicle pulled into the Tesla truck, one of those weird looking trucks, and it pulled in. The driver did not get out of normally. You pull into the valet, you jump out, you hand your keys to the valet guy, and off you go. He stayed in the vehicle, and then suddenly there was this massive explosion. There was a great deal of confusion at first. You know, was this a vehicle fire? Somebody came out and said, the batteries on these things, you never know about them. But this was clearly not a battery fire. This was an intentional act. And as we developed more information, we determined that this pickup or this truck was packed with fireworks, including the big ones, like two of their quarter sticks of dynamite mortar. They're major fireworks, gasoline cans, and camping fuel tanks. So this was in all sense a car bomb that was detonated in front of the Trump Hotel. Now, the symbolism, of course, here we have Tesla, Elon Musk's company, and utilizing that vehicle as a car bomb in front of the Trump Hotel. You don't have to, you know,
right,
be a rocket scientist to figure out that this was that there's a message here. The investigation is underway. They have identified the driver, who is from Colorado Springs, and there is a strong nexus in the fact that both the New Orleans killer's vehicle and the Trump Hotel bomber's vehicle were rented by individuals by the same rental app, not a regular rental car company, but a rental app where you can rent a car from a private party. In addition, there's also been information put out that both of these men served in the Army at the same base.
Oh.
There's a lot done here, a lot of investigative work that needs to be done.
Okay, I didn't know that part. So the fella in the killer in New Orleans was shot and killed. The guy in Las Vegas that drove the car up there and then set it ablaze, where is he now?
Oh, he's very, very dead. He blew
Oh, okay. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, Fred, I misunderstood. So he
stayed in the
suicide
car.
Mission.
Yeah, he stayed in the car and blew himself up along with the vehicle.
Okay, I'm sorry, I missed that.
Yeah.
But was anybody else hurt or injured?
There were 7 injuries, but relatively minor, which is an absolute miracle that he didn't do more damage. I think now this is conjecture at this point, but Elon Musk came out with a statement earlier. The way he packed the vehicle with explosives.
Yeah.
Killer or this, you know, bomber didn't realize that the truck that he utilized for this purpose was designed in such a way that it didn't blow up the way he thought it was going to.
Yeah.
It actually contained the blast much more than if it had been, a regular pickup truck. So
yeah.
I think he had intended to do a great deal more damage and take out people as well, but was not particularly skilled in that determination. And maybe, his desire to make a statement by utilizing a Tesla might have interfered with his major plans.
So Randy, we're talking to Randy Sutton. He's founder of Wounded Blue. It's a support group for injured and disabled law enforcement officers, but he resides in the Las Vegas area. And we were talking to him about the story in Las Vegas about the Tesla car, which blown up, a suicide mission blown up yesterday in front of the Trump hotel there. You know, about the, I don't know how many hours there were difference between that and the New Orleans attack, but they both appear to me, Randy, to be Islamic jihadists. The guy in New Orleans had an ISIS flag, right? I mean, I think he was wanted everybody to know his motives. But I don't know about the guy. And do you know much about the motives for the guy? I mean, it sounded like to me the same type of thing, right?
Well, and that's what the investigation is going to have to determine. Clearly, the killer in New Orleans was jihadist, a radicalized jihadist by every measure that we know at this point. If there was no manifesto discovered yet, no communication in the attack in Vegas, but that's what the investigation will have to determine, what this individual's motivations truly were.
Yeah. All right, Randy, thanks so much for your work and for being on with us here on American Family Radio. Take care.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, guys.
Okay, bye-bye. Fred, go ahead.
Yeah, it's really interesting. We're learning more, like, every hour about what happened in New Orleans. We're now being told that bomb-making materials were found at the New Orleans Airbnb that was rented by this 42-year-old Shamsuddin Jabbar. So like you were just pointing out in your interview with Randy there, it seems in Las Vegas, it was almost a political statement trying to be made by the fact that he rented a Tesla, Elon Musk connection.
Yeah.
And decided
the Trump Hotel
and parked in front of the Trump Hotel.
Yeah, and blew himself up though. It's a suicide mission.
No question about it.
What jihadis do is what I'm saying.
Oh
that
yeah.
Distinguishes when I say this is Islamic jihad terrorism. That is there's a difference between somebody who does that and willing to blow themselves up and somebody who maybe wants to commit an act of violence but not necessarily die themselves. You know?
Yeah,
what I'm
that's
saying?
Right. Now, in the case of Mr. Jabbar in New Orleans, there is no question. He planned this. He had the bomb-making materials at the Airbnb where he was staying. He knew he drove into that huge crowd there at 3 o'clock in the morning on New Year's Day in New Orleans. He knew what he was doing. He had bomb material in the vehicle. Now, we do need to clear something up. Initially, it was thought that, and it was reported that he didn't act alone, but they're now saying they cannot make a connection with anybody else between Mr. Jabbar and helpers. There was an initial report that people said they saw three men and a woman setting down explosive devices in the same area, but they're now seem to be moving away from that. But there's no question about
so 15 people, Chris, are dead.
Yeah, 15 at least.
Dead, mm-hmm. And about a dozen still in hospital, at least.
Yeah,
some of them in critical position.
On our website, AFN.net, Fred posted an Associated Press story earlier today. One of the people interviewed about the attack in New Orleans is 18-year-old Zion Parsons of Gulfport, Mississippi. He said he saw the truck, quote, barreling through, throwing people like in a movie scene, throwing people into the air. He went on to say that bodies were all up and down the street. Everybody was screaming and hollering. One of his friends was among the deceased, Nikra Dito.
So are you going to play a clip? No,
I'm just mentioning
okay,
some stories there.
Okay, thought you were getting ready to play a clip.
Now, speaking of clips, we do have a lot of things at our disposal today. We actually played this in the top of the hour newscast, but it's a great soundbite from Governor Jeff Landry. Obviously, he needs our thoughts and prayers, as do the victims, family members, and law enforcement having to investigate all this. But here is Governor Jeff Landry responding to this today on Fox and Friends, clip one.
It's a somber day here in the city and around Louisiana. I mean, we have parents that are going to have to, that are making funeral arrangements as we speak, that are waiting to have their loved ones released to them. And again, I mean, each of those is a reminder of the terrorism that exists and people and the evil out there that they want to afflict on America. And so, again, we continue to have an outpouring of prayer and support for those families. Again, as you walk through that list, a lot of those are Louisianians. I'm going to be going over to the crime scene again this morning and walking through it, hoping to maybe reach out and talk to some of those parents as well and to make sure that they're getting the support that they need so that they can start to work on some closure. And but again, you know, it's prayers and support, and the only thing that'll get them through is our faith.
Now, Tim, one of the things that people are on edge about today is the fact that the Allstate Sugar Bowl was postponed from yesterday to this afternoon at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Central. Yeah. And obviously, security is going to be on high alert there. We also have a much shorter clip of Governor Jeff Landry talking about security today and moving forward. Clip two.
Security is going to be tight. We have all the confidence that we're going to be able to put this game on. The Superdome is completely secure. Again, the FBI continues to pour resources into the state. We hope to update you all sometime today on exactly what those resources look like as best we can. Again, maybe not getting into the specifics, but giving y'all a 50,000-foot view mm-hmm. of the amount of resources that have been poured into the city.
All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. We've been discussing New Orleans and Las Vegas attacks, apparently, obviously in New Orleans, a jihadi attack. Now, this was not a foreign person. This was an American citizen who served in our military.
Born and raised.
Ray, did you read about him, about this?
Yeah, I did. I mean, you've got a guy raised in America. So we're not talking somebody from Kuwait, right?
Right, right.
We're not talking somebody from Saudi Arabia. Somebody from would appear to be a fairly normal American background, got into the military somewhere along the way, got radicalized to the point he was willing to do what he did at 3 a.m. on Bourbon Street, knowing it was the end of his life. So how radical do you have to be? And really, the same goes for the guy in Las Vegas. You have to know this is it. This is the end.
Right.
This is what radical ideology leads you to. You take out as many knowing you're going to die. I just want to know. I was thinking to myself, listening to what Randy said, that there are at least some possible connections. Possible connections between Las Vegas and New Orleans. And if that proves to be the case, that is a terrifying thought, Tim. It's bad enough to think about the horrific thing that happened in New Orleans. But if those two things are somehow related, then I suppose we'd all better be prepared. This could happen and probably will happen again somewhere else.
Let me ask you this. Yes, sadly and tragically, it probably will. Of course, we live in a free and open society, and you can't stop everything. Let me ask you this, Chris. Do you know the answer to this question? The man who did this in New Orleans, mm-hmm. his name was what?
42-year-old Shamsu Din Jabbar. He was a U.S. citizen from Texas.
Okay. My question is, did he have an American name and he changed it like Muslims do to conform with his religion? Do you know if that happened to him?
It has been reported that he did have a previous name.
Because when I saw a picture of him, I thought it was a Saudi or somebody from Yemen or right. something like that, like it happened on 9/11. Mm-hmm. Then I saw the picture, and he's an African-American or a black fella, and he served in our military, and he didn't have an obviously, I know that there are black people around the world who are Muslims, mm-hmm. who have Muslim-sounding names,
sure.
but I was just confused by that because I thought, military, he's not a foreigner, so evidently what happens with a lot of these folks, kind of like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. You remember him?
Uh-huh. Lew Alcindor.
Yeah, Lew Alcindor. Okay, well, what do these people do, and it's mostly, at least in the celebrity world, it's mostly been blacks, black males that have converted from whatever they were to Islam. Mm-hmm. And when they convert to Islam, like Lew Alcindor changed to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, like Cassius Clay changed to Muhammad Ali, they changed their names to, I don't know, what would the word be, Ray, to conform to their new religion? Is that?
Yeah. Okay. Absolutely. Yeah.
Or to reflect their new belief in, sure. in Allah and Islam. So,
I mean, when you change your name, you're changing your whole identity.
Correct.
Yeah, go ahead.
There was a New York Times article yesterday in which they interviewed people that knew Shamsu Din Jabbar, and someone told the New York Times they had been brought up Christian, but that he had converted to Islam at some point in the past. And that person went on to say, as far as I know, he was a Muslim for most of his life. Now, yeah. The Tesla driver has also been identified by various authorities and news outlets. I can mention that after we come back.
But Steve Jordahl showed us a picture of Jabbar when he was in the military, and he had Jabbar on his ID.
So he converted
somewhere along the way.
To Islam, maybe yeah. while he was in the military.
Yes.
Well, I tell you, I'm going to say the bad part out loud. I'm worried that our military is infiltrated with Islamic jihadists and or other enemies of America that has happened under the Biden administration because mm-hmm. of our very liberal DEI policies.
Right. Yep.
I mean, I'm just Am I the only one?
Nope.
Who's wondering about this?
Nope.
All right, we'll be back. Stay with us.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
The very first book in the Bible has some wonderful words for us. Here's a little short verse from the 28th chapter. Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. Let me share a story with you. Sam put on his top coat, picked up his briefcase, and walked to the door. Saying goodbye to the rest of the family, he proceeded to his car. He backed out of his driveway and headed down the road to the office. At the intersection, he looked both ways, and then he started across, and that's when it happened. There was a terrible screech, tires grinding on the pavement, coming to a sudden and complete stop. Sam jumped, looked toward his right to see a big tractor trailer bearing down on him. In an instant, his instinct told him to brace himself to prepare for a terrible accident. The truck was about to crash into his small, foreign-made automobile. He braced and waited, but miraculously, the driver of the giant truck managed to get the big rig stopped just prior to the anticipated collision. With a sigh of relief and thankfulness, Sam uttered a quick prayer. Now, it's only fair to say that Sam was not normally a very religious man, living mostly by his own creeds and just not having much time or interest in the kid stuff, you know. But for some reason, he spontaneously let it slip. "Thank you, Lord," he said, suddenly remembering that there was someone beyond himself. Well, Sam and the driver of the truck got out and surveyed the situation. "Man," said the truck driver, "you're a mighty lucky person. Just a split-second difference in timing, and you very probably wouldn't be around this old world right now. You'd better be thankful that I had my brakes reworked just last week. I would hate to think what would have happened if I had not. And I started to put it off, but changed my mind at the last minute and went ahead. Buddy, you better thank goodness that you're still alive." "Mister," said Sam, "I've already thanked goodness." Well, in a few moments, Sam was on his way to the office again. At a service station along the route he took, he saw Bill. Bill was a friend of his who worked in the same office. Bill was also the religious guy in their group, a regular churchgoer. Sam wheeled in to speak to Bill and tell him about the truck. "Hey, Bill," hollered Sam out of his window as he pulled along his religious friend. "The Lord's really taking care of me this morning. I pulled out in front of this big truck, and the Lord performed a miracle and stopped it just before it got me. It sure is great how the Lord takes care of us, isn't it?" "It sure is," said Bill. "He performed a miracle for me this morning also." "He did?" said Sam. "What happened? Did you nearly get hit by a big truck like me?" "Well, not quite," said Bill. "He just kept me from pulling out in front of any big trucks." Strange how we can find him in the miracles and not in the everyday events, isn't it?
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 1:13.
American Family Radio. This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues. Happy New Year. Are you listening to American Family Radio? Today's Issues, the name of this show, Tim, with Fred and Chris and Ray. And we thank you for listening. We were discussing what happened in New Orleans and what happened in Las Vegas. Almost, I guess, close to simultaneously, terrorist attacks on our soil here in the U.S. by U.S. citizens who served in our military. I was stunned when I read that. 10 years of service. The man did in who killed all those folks in New Orleans. Okay, so we were talking before the break how when a when someone converts to Islam, they often, well, they almost always change their name because, as Ray said, it changes their whole identity. And so the guy in New Orleans had changed somewhere along life's way, had changed his name to reflect a Muslim name, an Arabic name. And the same. I said that most of the time when you hear about this happening, it's a black male that does this. Cassius Clay, Muhammad Ali, Lou Alcindor becomes Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. And there are many others that maybe not that high profile that are out there and have been out there. But you said, Chris, this is a white guy mm-hmm. out in Las Vegas, right?
Yes, and actually has more military service than the New Orleans.
Did he attacker. Also change his name?
No, and I can say that because various news outlets, and by various I mean a ton, have now identified the driver of the Tesla Cybertruck in Las Vegas as 37-year-old Matthew Livelsberger. He served over 19 years in the Army, 18 of which were spent in Special Forces. His current role was listed as a remote and autonomous systems manager, to which he had been doing for a few months.
How long did he serve in the military?
19 years.
In what branch?
In 18 years, we're in Special Forces. He was raised in Ohio, according to Daily Mail. He moved to Colorado Springs as an adult, and the investigation continues on from there.
So, what do you think, Fred? I mentioned before the break, I know some people are going to say that's a kind of a no evidence to support what you're thinking, Tim, and that is that our military has been infiltrated by people who hate our country. I don't have any evidence of that other than these two guys. And there have been other things that have happened, you pointed out, Fred, though.
Yeah, I'm thinking of Fort Hood, November 2009, Major Nadal Hassan. Killed 13
another
people.
Muslim.
He opened in a classroom here or a building, opened fire, killed 13 people, and wounded dozens of others. And in the wake of that, in investigating, it was shown. Now, this is during the Barack Obama years. It was shown that people knew he had sympathies towards radical Islam.
Right, but the Obama administration didn't want you to talk about that because it made Muslims look bad.
Yes, mm-hmm.
Is that right?
That is correct.
And they sent an edict out on that.
Yes,
don't talk about his motives
mm-hmm.
and connect it with Islam because that makes they basically said it, Ray.
They're trying to whitewash it, cover it up.
Mm-hmm.
But it was there. I mean, he was a radicalized Islamic terrorist inside the United States Armed Forces. We finally found out about it too late.
Yeah, but when you can't talk about that inside the military, it becomes, or you get disciplined yourself. Then it would seem to thwart any kind of investigation on. You know what I'm saying?
No, if you're ordered not to talk in negative terms,
right?
That's an order,
right? Well, listen, this has happened to other places, maybe not so high profile. You remember, was it Florida? Was it Elgin Air Force Base? This happened about 2 years ago. You remember these Muslims kill some folks? They were from Saudi Arabia training. Remember that? And then we also had the situation in Chattanooga. About 8 or 10 years ago, where an Islamic jihadist who was in the military, killed some people there. Here, Ray, listen, mm-hmm. not all Muslims are terrorists, okay?
Right.
We don't want to imply that. But almost all the terrorists are Muslims, all right?
Right.
So that's true as well. So my question, Ray, is these people like this guy in New Orleans, 15 people dead, I don't know how many injured, innocent people, mm-hmm. just walking back to their hotel or going to their car to go home. They've been on partying the New Year, but they weren't hurting anybody. They were just on their way, walking around. And so I'm just saying that they were completely and totally innocent, undeserving of any kind of a of death, certainly. And this, so this guy decides to go riding his, speed driving his truck down the road, and he knew he was going to mow down as many people as he could, and then he had a gun. He was going to kill people, and then, as you said, he was had to be certain he was going to be killed by the cops himself, and that's exactly what happened. Well, here's my question to you, Ray, is what's the motivation for a a blanket condemnation of all Muslims? Obviously that's crazy. I'm saying there is a teaching though, Ray, inside Islam somewhere that teaches what this guy did is honoring Allah.
Well,
is that right? There is a
poisonous stream.
Okay.
There's a poisonous stream, and we are not saying it is the mainstream.
Right.
But there is a
poisonous
stream inside Islam, and who knows how big it is, but there are these radical Muslim clerics scattered all over the world teaching and preaching hate and filling their followers with the notion that Allah wants you to get in the struggle. Remember, jihad means struggle. So in the struggle to support your God and your religion, go and kill the infidels, and you will be received into great glory in heaven. Now, we've all heard about, I don't know, the virgins and all that. I don't think we have to suggest that every single person who blows himself up is motivated that way, but there is a poisonous... I mean, if you tell people to hate Americans and hate Americans,
right,
and hate Americans,
hate Christians and Jews too,
and Christians and Jews, and call,
right,
America the great Satan,
right,
over and over and over again, then some people are going to imbibe that kind of poison, and eventually they are going to act upon it. And perhaps this fella at 3 a.m. going down Bourbon Street thought he was serving his God. That's only true if you understand at that point his God is the devil, not the,
right,
God of the Bible.
It's kind of interesting, too, the similarities. There was an incident just in the last few weeks in Germany where a Saudi doctor, mm-hmm, mowed down a bunch of people at a German market.
That's right.
And in 2017 in New York, a immigrant from Uzbekistan, he had been here for seven years, I think, he rented a truck, listen to the similarities, and mowed down a bunch of people on a bike track. He killed eight people in that. So there's, you know, these guys read about what works, these rented truck things. I think there was something in Paris back several years ago.
Oh, yeah,
something
yeah,
very
yeah.
similar.
Oh, outside of Paris, I think.
Yeah, big truck,
yeah, big
mowing
truck,
people
yeah.
down. So somewhere there's a book being written by Islamic terrorists. This is a method that works.
Yeah, yes. So, but if you're wondering, as I do, what is in it for the killers? Because otherwise you go, these people are insane. Mm-hmm. Okay. You can say that in a generic sort of response to something like this, which is crazy. It's madness. But the thinking of the person who did this is not insane. Okay. It was well thought out.
Mm-hmm.
That's not insanity. You go and get weapons. You go and get explosives. You plan your route. You rent your car. You plan the date and time to get as much carnage as you can get. Okay, that's a thought process that, yes, is evil, and it's wicked, as Ray has pointed out. But that's not where you go, that person is insane, like they're going out howling at the moon or something like that. No, it's just pure evil and wickedness. And you wonder, well, why do they people do this? What is the motive? And we always look at motives for people when they do evil and wicked things, whether it be this or something else that has happened in the news that will happen. Sadly, you know, we're always looking for motives, right? So it's the police officer. The police often come out, whatever crime is committed, say, okay, here was the motive behind it. Was it? Or in the case of Islamic Jihad, their motive is to, they think they're pleasing Allah if they can kill the enemies of Allah. The enemies of Allah are not just American soldiers or Israelis. The enemies of Allah are non-Muslims. And even for the, depending on the sect, S-E-C-T, Sunni or Shia, or maybe some off-brands sometimes, but most of the time it's Sunni or Shia, they think that, so anybody that doesn't fall into their camp is an enemy of Allah. And, of course, Iran has been teased, they're Shia, they're not Sunnis. Sunnis, Saudi Arabia and that part of the world. They teach that Israel, i.e. Jews, are the little Satan, and the United States. Listen, those people consider us all Christians. We know in America we're not all Christians, but they, if you're an American, you're from the great Satan, which is a Christian country, which is the U.S., and they say, well, the U.S. is the enemy of Allah. So I'm making a long-winded point here. So the guy in New Orleans and the guy in Las Vegas, although he didn't kill anybody, fortunately, and thank the Lord for that, but the guy in New Orleans, he served in the military for 10 years. Yes, he got radicalized, but he did. But again, we shouldn't confuse radicalization from Islam with insanity. Mm-hmm. In the way that you would put a straitjacket on somebody and say they're out of their minds. These people aren't out of their minds. They know precisely what they're doing. They're just evil and wicked, and they're motivated by, as Ray said earlier, the devil. And the devil, if listen, you may laugh and say the devil, you believe in Santa Claus and Bigfoot too. Listen, Ray, Jesus Christ believed in the devil. Am I right?
He said in John chapter 8 that you are from your father, the devil, who was a murderer from the beginning. And he said in John 10, the thief, talking about the devil, is come to steal and to kill and to destroy. Satan loves death. He loves killing. He loves murdering. And so whatever else we can say about religious motivations, when that fellow got behind the wheel of the pickup truck and the fellow stayed in the driver's compartment of the Tesla, both those guys, they were following the God of this world, who is Satan himself.
Yeah. All right. So, by the way, there was one other fellow that the baby boomers will remember. That was a high-profile conversion to Islam. He changed his name, and he was the folk singer Cat Stevens. You remember him, Ray?
Yeah.
He was a big star.
A big star
in the 60s and 70s. You remember him?
Oh yeah,
mm-hmm. Cat Stevens. And then he, I don't know when, the 80s maybe. He converted to Islam, changed his name. Moved to London, went with full Islamic garb and grew the beard out and never looked back.
Yeah.
I don't know if he ever even sang anymore, publicly or concerts or anything like that. Maybe he did. But that was another example of what Ray said. When people convert to Islam and they're Westerners, they almost always, if they're dead serious about it, they change their name.
Mm-hmm.
And they change their whole tone, their whole political speech, their spiritual speech. You'll hear them.
Mm-hmm. Look, yeah. I'm old enough to remember what a big deal it was when Cassius Clay, back in the 60s. I'm old enough to remember that. I was young back then, but became Muhammad Ali.
Right.
And Americans were complete. And then in the 60s, Americans didn't know much about Islam at all. And what a shock it was.
Yeah.
What a shock.
Yeah.
All right. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Again, 15 dead in New Orleans. And how many injured, Chris?
Oh, a lot.
A lot.
It depends on the, I'm going to get you the official count because it depends on the L that you look at.
And the FBI and the state of Louisiana and all their agencies, the governor, the attorney general, the mayor of New Orleans, all of them are having press conferences and actively involved in the investigation of what happened there. But joining us now is Sandy Rios. Sandy is the host of Sandy Rios 24/7, a very popular podcast on American Family Radio on our website. Sandy joins us now. Good morning, Sandy.
Hey, good morning, Tim. How are you guys this morning?
We're doing well. Like you, we're saddened, like Americans all over the country. We're saddened by what happened in New Orleans.
Yeah, Tim, I've had a long history with this issue of the Muslim Brotherhood and terror attacks. I actually consider myself an expert. I was targeted by the SPLC because the way I covered this for a long time. The only reason I say that is because what I witnessed, I don't know if this, you want me to talk about this, but when I first got to do you want me to talk about this? I think you had something else you wanted to talk about, but I...
Well, we're very sensitive here, Sandy, about what we talk about, so I've got your button here to mute you if you go off. You know, we don't know what to expect from you. Go ahead. Speak.
Well, there's some background I think that's important to help us understand. And, you know, as you all just said, I was listening a little bit, we didn't know much about Islam, not until the attacks on 9/11.
Right.
You know, Americans just were really ignorant. We couldn't even pronounce their names. You know, I'll raise my hand to that. I can't.
Right.
But what we realized quickly, the FBI were experts on terrorism. They had great experts on that. And they fought back with a vengeance. Bruce was in Chicago during where the Muslim Brotherhood had an organization where the FBI got a tip that they had all of this information at their headquarters and were, you know, they were a terrorist organization. And a newspaper, I think it was the Tribune, tipped off the CARE, I think it was CARE at the time, that the FBI was coming to raid them, and they shredded all the information. That's just an incident to tell you this was a long time ago. This is before Bruce and I even got married. So when I moved to D.C. in 2001, it was right after 9/11, and what I learned, and I'll just tell you as quickly as I can, the thing that changed everything was that right after 9/11, President Bush, of course, Karl Rove was part of his, he was the big brain in that whole incident. Karl convinced President Bush that the Muslims, the Jews had the Democrats, but the Muslim could be part of the Republican Party, because we did agree on some issues like abortion and gay marriage and things like that. So immediately the Muslim Brotherhood was welcomed into the White House. They spent a lot of time there. In fact, the day after 9/11, they were in the White House in their full Islamic garb, invited by Karl. And we know, because we've had documents now, that their intention, because of the undercover of a house in Virginia sometime before this 9/11 took place, was their intention was to destroy, I can tell you the exact words, we want to destroy their miserable house from within. The Muslim Brotherhood has a whole set of goals, and this was way back in the 90s. And so we know that. The FBI knew it. It was discovered. We knew all of that. We declared them to be a terrorist organization. We defamed CARE. CARE was no longer welcome on the airwaves. And all of that reversed when the Republican leadership decided that they would pull in the Muslims because they were peaceful, you see. Now, I'm not saying are no peaceful Muslims. I am not saying that. But I'd say guilty until proven innocent. That's how I feel about it, and that's a very radical statement. But the teaching of Islam is completely incompatible with the West and with Christianity and the Western civilization. They cannot live with us unless they deny the tenets of their faith. And so the Republicans allowed them in, and I can't tell you how many battles how many I had. We had many of them start to run for office, and we tried to expose them because we knew their terrorist past. We knew things about them. And so gradually, what happened? Obama comes in. It gets worse. Yeah. The FBI scrubs all of its information about what radical Islam really is. The agents now haven't got a clue. They haven't got a clue. And all of those experts that the FBI had were let go. They were given early retirement.
Under the Obama administration, right?
Yeah. Well, yes, and under Mueller. Under Director Mueller.
Robert Mueller, yeah.
Yes, exactly. So that's a tiny bit. except that I saw it all change. You know, suddenly we can't, you know, we're the bad ones because we raise questions. And so this has been simmering now for 20 years. Yeah. And they've been growing and making their plans. Nothing has changed with them. This is what they do all over the world. And yeah, this is what they will do here.
Yeah, I guess what was stunning to me, and Chris, you can reiterate this.
Yep.
By the way, folks, you're listening to the radio program Today's Issues here on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim with Fred, Chris, Ray, and Sandy is joining us. Sandy Rios. We're talking about what happened in New Orleans and the motivations for these Islamic jihadists who were responsible for New Orleans and for Las Vegas. The Las Vegas attack was a Tesla truck parked in front of a Trump hotel. It blew up. The guy committed suicide. He sat in the car while it blew up. He was himself an Islamic jihadist. Did you say he had or had not changed his name that you knew of, Chris?
The Tesla driver in Las Vegas, he is
what
not.
Was his name?
Matthew Livensberger, 37, 39 years old.
Okay, but he was Islamic. He was Islamic.
We don't
know that yet. Okay, I'm just
19-year member of Special Forces.
Okay, I'm just without evidence, as they say, I'm just going to say he is. He is like this guy in New Orleans who was a confirmed Islamic jihadist, because otherwise people don't do what he did unless they have a motive, and that fits right in with Islamic jihadist, the way that they conduct.
Yeah, Timothy McVeigh comes to mind, but that's been 30 years.
They always
years.
Pull out Timothy McVeigh. We got one to 100.
Yeah, I'm just you trying to think.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Sandy.
Let me interject something really, really important that you might not know. And the only reason I know it is because some insider told me. John Brennan was the CIA director, remember? He was the CIA director under Barack Obama. Well, when he was with the CIA station in Saudi Arabia, he converted to Islam.
Oh, Brennan did.
Yes, and remember what happened under Barack Obama?
Sure.
He advanced, his first speech to the world was to the Arab world. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we apologize.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. World apology tour. I remember that.
Right,
yeah.
Right, and the space program had to include Muslims. I mean, it was stunning, jaw-dropping. And, chaplains were, Muslim Brotherhood chaplains were replacing Christian chaplains. Military chaplains could not mention the name of Jesus. We have to remember how bad things were. And anybody that, dared to express a concern was an Islamophobic and destroyed.
Yes, yes.
By the press and by the I should know. And so, so we were, this was one of those many, many times in the last 25, 30 years that we were not allowed to speak the truth on an issue. And that the cart was turned upside down on what's true and what is not true.
Right.
And we've paid a terrible price. I just hope, I knew this was, this sounds like I'm boasting and I'm not. I just knew this was going to be an issue because they've been quiet now for the last 20 years.
Right.
Now they're coming. Did you see the video of the pro-Hamas hordes taking over Manhattan either yesterday or this morning? I'm not sure when
I did not see that. No.
Yeah, they're demanding international jihad. Not jihad, they had a different word for it. But intifada.
Yeah.
Intifada. Mm-hmm. International intifada.
Oh, me. Well, hey, Sandy, how can folks, you have 3 podcasts a week now, right?
Yes. It's Sandy Rios 24/7, and you can listen to it, of course, on AFR.net in the podcast section. You can also listen to it from my website, which is sandyrios.com. It's on any podcast platform, but that's the simplest. And for our AFA listeners, that's the great
thing. Okay, if you want great information and interviews, and Sandy keeps up with current events better than anybody or as good as anybody, and so go to Sandy Rios 24/7 and check it out. We also, you go to AFR.net, click on the podcast. You can find it there, Sandy's podcast. Thank you, Sandy. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you, guys. Great to talk to you. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Same to you.
It's Sandy Rios joining us. We'll be back momentarily with more of Today's Issues right after the news.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.